ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 11, Text Number 49, The Symptoms of Living Entities. Athaitat paramam guhyam Shrinnato yadunandana Sugopyam abhivakshyami Tomme bhritya suhrut sakha. Adha. Thus. Etat. This. Paramam. Supreme. Guhyam. Secret. Srinnataha. To you who are listening. Yadu Nandana. O beloved of the Yadu dynasty. Sugopyam. Most confidential. Api. Even. Vakshyami. I will speak. Tvam. You. Me. Of me. Pratyaha. Are the servant. Suhrit. Well-wisher. Sakha. And friend. Translation. My dear Uddhava, O beloved of the Yadu dynasty, because you are my servant, well-wisher and friend, I shall now speak to you the most confidential knowledge. Please hear as I explain these great mysteries to you. The purport by servants of Prabhupada. It is stated in the first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam 118, Bruya snigdhasya shishyasya guravo guhyam api uta. A bona fide spiritual master naturally reveals all transcendental secrets to a sincere disciple. Sri Uddhava had completely surrendered to Lord Krishna, and then only could the Lord explain such mysteries to him, because without complete faith, the transmission of spiritual knowledge is impossible. Other processes of self-realization, such as philosophical speculation, are imperfect and unsteady because the performer has personal desires and there is no definite procedure by which to obtain the full mercy of the Supreme Lord. On the other hand, association with the pure devotees of Lord is a self-sufficient process that is guaranteed to award the desired result. One must only learn how to associate with the pure devotees and one's life will be perfect. This is the sum and substance of this chapter. So this is the end of the chapter. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Guru Unvaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajadam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this verse very nicely describes the qualification to obtain transcendental knowledge, the qualification to obtain spiritual knowledge. For anything, some qualification is required. Even to get some material knowledge, one needs some qualification. Maybe first qualification, in both cases it is some faith. Without faith, nobody is ready to pay a nice amount of money to the university. If you want some knowledge, one should be, first faith is, okay, I can pay some money, tuition, which is high, very high nowadays. I think Melbourne Uni, it's around 30 grants a year, so much of money. And we can understand, if you pay that much of money, naturally there will be some faith. The faith will boost, because you are paying so much of money and going there, so whatever professor or lecturer speaks, naturally one develops some faith, because money has already gone. And a few years later, it will become a nice debt, a big loan to pay off. So this is the kind of faith we have. Everyone has some faith to invest money, to invest their life, to invest their energy in so many different things. I was speaking to one student, he was doing MBA from MBS, Melbourne Business School. It's quite reputed. And it is kind of 50 grants. So if we pay that much of amount of money, and if we go to a big building, and you know, so many nice material facilities we see around, naturally people develop some faith in the process of material education. And this is increasing, and further the faith is increasing, and to some degree that people do not have much faith in the spiritual path. There is not much faith in the scriptures. But one's faith in the material science is completely fixed. And it is very interesting to see that the Bhagavad Gita is always the same. The knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is always the same. It's not changing every day. There is no version 1, there is no version 2, there is no beta version, there is no alpha version. It is one and the same all the time. But the material science is changing. One can publish one paper proving that, okay, one phenomenon is working like this. You can publish few papers, can get some reputation, can get some grants. And the same person can write another paper refuting the same argument. And can publish another paper and ask for another grant. That is material world. The old theories, old education people had, maybe one or two decades before, it is completely irrelevant. And many of the things have completely changed. But everyone accept, everyone put faith, and they say, okay, this is the progress of science. Everything is attributed as the progress. Because without change, what is the question of progress? So the science is changing, and it is considered, it is uploaded, it is, you know, considered very great, because it is changing, because it is progress. So whatever nonsense theory there was before, no problem. And so much faith they have put, no problem. Now it is path of progress, so it's alright. Now, if you consider even the material science, if you consider the fundamentals, that is fundamentals of science, we can say it is, one is in physics and another is in math. These are the fundamentals. If the application of this we can find in all different branches of science, everything. But if you really analyze what are the developments in the fundamental science, in math or in physics, it's not so much. Because it is actually difficult to understand the material nature by the analytical process is tedious, even though so much effort is put forth in that direction. So other fields are to some degree they are waiting to see what's happening in the fundamental physics and maths. The field I was studying, there is one core subject, it is called information theory, because it actually talks about the theoretical aspect of all communication. So the researchers are practically waiting to see what are the new publications that is coming out in mathematics. Because they want the tool to do some research, to do some speculation, to come out some results, to publish, to get some money. So they are basically waiting for something to happen in the fundamental science so that they can get something out of it and make some application and use it. So in the fundamental field there are not so much of development. Even if you consider past many years, not so much. because it is difficult to understand the material nature. And it's not enough that we have some money, we need some intelligence. So the so-called IQ, one can write an IQ test and find out what is the IQ, 120, 130, 80, 90, whatever. So one needs some IQ intelligence to understand the material science. Actually, according to Nectar of Devotion, intelligence is in twofold. So I was reading in the qualities of Krishna. It is mentioned Krishna is the most intelligent. So Srila Prabhupada writes, the qualification or the features of intelligence, one is memory and the second is the ability to make right decision. These are the two qualities of intelligence. So we can see actually devotees are the most intelligent, because memory means devotees can remember Krishna. So that is the best of memory. And devotees are in ISKCON, we can see. So they are intelligent to come in association with other devotees in Srila Prabhupada's movement. So we can see the ISKCON devotees are very, very intelligent, because the two criteria are completely satisfied to classify one as intelligent. So in the material intelligence, they need some analytical knowledge. Of course, they need some memory. If there is not enough memory, we have, you know, enough hard disk space. So something, one or the other thing is there. Still, we had to push forward to gain some material knowledge. However, when we come to the spiritual understanding, the qualification is slightly different. The qualification is, Shraddha is required. The faith is very essential. And here, three things are mentioned, three points are mentioned, which actually qualify Uddhava to receive this transcendental knowledge. One is, Bhritya Suhrit Sakha, Tomme Bhritya Suhrit Sakha. These are the three qualifications given, attributed to Uddhava to receive this transcendental knowledge from Lord Krishna himself. One is Bhritya, he's a servant. So it is very interesting, because Uddhava is so dear to Krishna, Krishna is accepting Uddhava as dear servant. So he's addressing Bhritya, you are my Bhritya. There is actually a verse by King Kulasekara. It's Mukundamala Stotra. You know, there are several verses, I think 70 plus verses are there. And in one of the verses, it is this Bhritya term is used many times. It is just like in our Shikshashtakam, Mahaprabhu said, Dasa 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 Anudas. Naham Vipro Narapati. In that verse, Mahaprabhu says, I am not even servant. Dasa, 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 and Dasa. Servant of servant of servant. In the same point, King Kulasekara mentions, Bhrityasya, Bhrityasya, like that it goes, a few times Bhritya. That is to mention his humble position in front of the Supreme Lord. So that is this term Bhritya, that is servant. And here, Uddhava is present directly in front of Krishna. And Krishna is accepting, you are my dear servant. So, how qualified Uddhava is. Next is Suhrit. That is also a very interesting term, Suhrit. As Bhagavad Gita says, Suhridam Sarvabhutana. Krishna is Suhridam. He is a friend of everyone. There are three terms, I think, Mitra, Bandhu, Suhrit, I think. The three terms actually describes pretty much the same meaning, that is friend. But the term Suhrit is used to describe one who is the most intimate friend. One is the friend, you know, other kind of friend, you know, one is a relative, Bandhu is kind of relative. These are also kind of friend, but one who can know one to the fullest, who is the most intimate, he is termed as Suhrit. So Krishna is accepting, you are my Suhrit, you are my most intimate friend. So this is another qualification of Sri Uddhava. That is one reason. Even though, materially speaking, the individuals tries to love one another, or one try to, you know, love in so many different ways, but one cannot love to the fullest. There is always limitation, because the amount of understanding, the how much we can understand the other person, that is limited. We cannot be so intimate to anyone, because there is a limit to our mind, to our intelligence, to our feeling to understand others. There is a limit to that. So we cannot have an intimate relation to the fullest. We cannot love anyone in this world to the fullest but Krishna, because Krishna can know you to the fullest degree. He can understand you to the highest degree. So he is the Suhrut. So that is the reason Bhagavad Gita says Suhrutam Sarva Bhutanam. So Krishna is the Suhrut of all the living entities. That is the reason he sits as Paramatma in all the living entities, irrespective of their position in the material world. Maybe a worm in the stool, or maybe Brahma. In any case, the Lord Krishna is situated in the heart as Paramatma, as the Suhrutam Sarva Bhutanam. And finally, Uddhava is Sakha, he's a dear friend. So this is the prime qualification of Uddhava to receive transcendental knowledge from Krishna. Similarly, there is a verse in the 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita as well, which pretty much says the same thing. That is, Bhaktosime Sakha Cheti Rahasyam Hi Edad Uttamam. That is, you are my Bhakta, you are my devotee and Sakha. And that is the only reason I am giving this knowledge, which is Rahasyam. Rahasyam means it is a secret of secrets. It's very, very secret. Cannot understand so easily. Here also, in this verse also, we can see Sugopyam. Sugopyam means secret. Sugopyam means most confidential. Su is actually enhancing the quality of being secret. So it is very, very secret. How it is so secret? Because we can say Bhagavad Gita is there. Why it is so secret? Even Bhagavatam is there. Why it is so secret? It's open for everyone. Still, it is secret because the purport, the real knowledge, it's a mystery. We cannot really understand so easily. Unless and until we get the association of the devotees who can reveal it to us. Otherwise it remains a secret. I think last time I was mentioning about a person who studied 200 commentaries of Bhagavad Gita. I was speaking to him, 200 commentaries. Still he couldn't understand who is Krishna. Still finally the conclusion was, Krishna possesses a material body. That was the conclusion. After studying 200 commentaries, conclusion was Krishna has a material body. So what's the use of such study? Useless. So that is secret. Even if one tries to study without faith, so here in this verse, that's another interesting point. That is without faith. Without faith in Krishna, without having the Shraddha, when one studies to even read, doesn't really get the real purport. So that's the reason we approach parampara. That's the reason we approach disciplic succession, which is starting from Krishna and coming through Acharyas and coming through Srila Prabhupada, so that we can get the real purport. When in 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna says this knowledge was lost, Bhagavad Gita, the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita was lost, and now I am giving this knowledge to you, Arjuna. When Krishna says this, it doesn't mean that the text is gone as such, because all the Vedas have the same knowledge, because the old Veda is ultimately meant to know, to give the information about Krishna. And the essence of Vedas we can find in Upanishads, and the essence of Upanishad is present in Bhagavad Gita. So even Krishna, before speaking Bhagavad Gita was there, because in the form of Upanishads, in the form of Vedas. However, the real purport was lost. So that is the reason Krishna says, okay, I am giving this knowledge again to you, Arjun. So now you be the head of the disciplic succession. You pass it on to others. So the purport is the most important. The real meaning of Bhagavad Gita, the real meaning of Bhagavatam, that is what is important. And to understand, Krishna says, Bhaktiyamam abhijanati. If you want to know Krishna, the only way is bhakti, by loving devotional service. That is the only means by which one can understand Krishna. No other means. You know, as it is said, you know, gyan, karma, you know, so many activities, or pious activities, starting hospitals, digging well, giving donation, one cannot understand Krishna. It is qualitatively different processes. So one can never understand Krishna by any of this material piety. Usually that is one question is asked to the devotees, at least to me, when we visit, you know, India. People ask, what kind of charity are you doing? say this mission, they are building so many hospitals. Here we have so many villages, they are giving so many water. So what kind of charity are you doing? So what is your focus? What kind of charity? Is it food, shelter, clothing? Which is your focus? But we say no. Our focus is giving holy names, because it can ultimately solve all the problem. And of course we give prasadam also. It doesn't mean we don't understand the basic necessity. We do. But at the same time we give the real solution. That is chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, chanting of the holy name of the Supreme Lord. Because that can actually cut all the problems from the root. As it is mentioned, Svadvikramad Bhavadi Tadgata Moolahantri. That is a taste for holy name that develops gradually as it cuts the problems from the root. So that is the significance of our movement. That is, we give the holy name. That is a solution for all. Now, apart from that, if you mention, especially to atheistic people, or if you say speak to people who doesn't have any understanding about Krishna consciousness, if you speak about God, if you speak Krishna is the Supreme Lord, if you mention, he's a cowherd boy, he's wearing a blue dhoti, he has got garland made of forest flower, he's living in village of Vrindavan, he's roaming in the forest of Vrindavan, people cannot understand. It is completely inconceivable. Very much. If you say Krishna consciousness is inconceivable, if you take it to others, to the people in general, we can understand how inconceivable it is. Really it is achintya. Cannot accept. It's so difficult. But when develops a little bit of faith, then one can understand. As it is mentioned, if you open Srimad Bhagavatam, Kunti Devi, she is actually giving a list of, if no background about Krishna consciousness or has some understanding of religiosity or approaching God for material benefits, give me my daily bread or clothing or shelter, in that mood, if we take Bhagavatam and take 8th chapter of 1st canto and start reading Kunti Devi's prayer, then we'll get a complete bewilderment. She is actually listing Vishan Mahagne, the list is going on. She is mentioning, first we were attacked, or the Pandavas were attacked, or in fact it was Bhima. Bhima was tried to kill by Kauravas, by Duryodhan particularly. Vishan Mahagne Narada Darshana. Then Bhima was supposed to be killed. Who was that? Asura, who was in a village, and one person from the village would go, and he will take the old meal, and next day, one day, Bhima took all the foodstuff and went to that demon. So Kunti Devi mentioning, you protected, Krishna, you protected from them. Vishan Mahagane, Narada Darshanath, Asas Sabhayam. So in the assembly hall, Asas Sabha, where Draupadi was disrobed, even from there, O Krishna, you protected us. Then Vanavasa Krichada, and the difficulties of Vanavasa. So many years Pandavas and Kunti Devi, they stayed in the Vanavas for the forest. Still Krishna, Kunti Devi is mentioning, yes, you protected them also. Then Kunti Devi is mentioning, Mrithe Mrithe Neka Maharathasrada. And in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, so many Maharathis, so many great warriors, they shot so many arrows. And, O Krishna, you protected from all these arrows, all these Pandavas. And finally, Kunti Devi is telling, now, Dravanyastradaschasma Hare Bhirakshita. That is, now, the son of Drona, that is Ashwathama, has shot an arrow to Maharaj Parikshit, who was in the womb of Mother Uttara. And now, you have protected Parikshit from this calamity also. So she is practically listing how the Supreme Lord protected her and her family in so many different ways. And after this verse, it's a very interesting verse. Anyone knows that verse? I think I should also have a look. Vipata Santata Satra Tattaratara Jagadguru Bhavato Darshanam Yasyat Apunar Bhava Darshanam. She is mentioning, let these calamities happen again and again. So if we have some calamity, we say, it's enough. We don't want anything more. But she's mentioning, let these calamities happen again and again. But there is a sole reason behind that. The reason is, bhavato darshanam yat syat. By that, we can get your darshan. And also we can avoid one thing, that is apunar bhava darshanam. That is this cycle of birth and death, that is bhava. I don't want to see that cycle again and again. So to stop that once and for all, I would like to see calamities, and by which I can get your darshan. So this is the nature of prayer that is Kunti Devi is giving in Srimad Bhagavatam. So if we approach Srimad Bhagavatam with our material mind, and if we approach with our material religiosity, it is completely inconceivable, not possible to understand at all. But when it comes to bhakti, when we develop some bhakti, some devotion, some faith, then it becomes meaningful. It becomes okay, at least to some degree. We may not be able to understand fully, but at least to some degree we can understand. And now, very interesting, important point in this purport is, to get that faith, one has to come in association of the devotees. One needs to further that faith, one needs association. As it is said, ato shraddha, tato sadhu sangha. That is, one starts one devotional service by a little bit of faith. A faith can be, oh, devotees are not too bad. Even though I can't understand what they are saying, it looks a bit weird, still, it's okay, not too bad. You know, that's a little bit of appreciation. That is the beginning of faith. And that faith is required to get association of the devotees. All of us, we can see how we got in touch with the devotees, how we got the association of the devotees from the first instance. And from that point, our faith increased. The devotional service only starts with a little bit of association, with faith and a little bit of association. That is the beginning. And that is not just for neophytes. Even to the advanced stage, the association of devotees is so important. That is further mentioned in this verse. And even if one gets a little bit of association of a devotee in this lifetime, or if we develop a little bit of faith, that is useful, that we can carry forward, not only in this lifetime, even to next lifetimes. It's eternal, means there is no loss. It's an eternal faith we are getting, a little bit of faith which we are getting, that we can carry forward all the time. I was remembering one boy who was coming for one of the retreat, that is a previous retreat, boy from the Latrobe University. He came for the retreat, that's all. I met him here because one of his friend invited him to come for the retreat, and I met him here in the temple for the first time in the retreat morning, and I was talking to him. So he was in his crutches, and he had prasadam, and he went for the retreat, and it was pretty much okay. He was sitting on a chair because, you know, it's a broken leg, things were very bad, and he attended all the lectures. Swami Maharaj was giving lecture, and he attended all the lectures, went through all the videos, participated nicely. And later, actually, Nadamudra Prabhu was mentioning to me, Maharaj mentioned, it was actually a striking point, Maharaj mentioned in the lecture that for some people, this retreat could be the only devotional service they have done in their life. But still, that will be eternally useful. And after 2 weeks, after coming back, I called him, I spoke to him. And that was in 18th, 19th was the retreat last month. And in 1 week later, I talked to him, I invited for the program there in the Latrobe, you come down. So he said, yeah, I will come, but he couldn't make it. And after just 2 weeks, that is two weeks back, beginning of this month, we got a shocking news that he met with an accident and he died. You know, 10 students went to Mount Buller on the way, morning 8:30, like that. They met with a severe accident, you might have read in the newspaper, and just gone, died on the spot. Severe accident. So this is how the material nature is working. You know, we see someone, and you know, in such a short span, it was really shocking. Young boy, you know, 22 or 23. Finished. So the little bit of association, what he got, and that a very powerful association, he can actually continue his spiritual life in his next life, wherever he is. This is the power of association. One can carry forward that faith that is developed through association. And association is very important, and we have to give our association to others. That is known as preaching. Preaching means giving our association to other people who are less fortunate, who never had any association of the devotees. So preaching means giving the association to others by which they get an opportunity to hear about Krishna, to be in touch with the devotees, to be in touch with the process of devotional service. And here Krishna is reminding that association is not just for the beginners. We say in the beginning of the list is association, that is ato shraddha, tato dha sadhu sangha, then bhajana kriya, anatana vritti, etc. So in the development of bhakti, association of the devotees in the beginning stage, if you look. But Krishna is telling here in this chapter and the conclusion of this chapter, as well as the next chapter, it is mentioned that association is not just for the neophyte devotees, not for us. It is for even for the advanced devotees. That is the purport of this verse. Even to a devotee of the caliber of Sri Uddhava, even for him, association is so important. So Uddhava, if we understand the qualification of Uddhava, who is already in the Sarupya, who Sarupya means the same form as the Supreme Lord. So he has a blackish complexion and he wears the Maha dress of Lord Krishna. So he wears nice silk yellow dhoti of Krishna. So that is the position of Krishna, sorry, of Uddhava. And Uddhava is the chief advisor of Krishna. He is Mantri Raj. In many occasions, Krishna takes advice from Uddhava. What to do? He is the Supreme Lord, but he takes guidance from his servant, Uddhava. One instance recently I was reading was in the 10th canto, obviously. Krishna was in Dwaraka and there was a confusion. One was Maharaj Yudhishthir was going to perform Rajasuya sacrifice. The information was passed on to Krishna by Narada Muni. And at the same time, the younger members of the Yadu dynasty wanted to attack Jarasandha and to kill Jarasandha. So all the younger members, they wanted to kill because everyone was frustrated with the atrocities of Jarasandha. And they wanted to kill him. So they were completely fired up. They wanted to go for a fight and they wanted to kill. At the same time, the news came from Indraprastha by Narada Muni that King Yudhishthir want to perform Rajasuya sacrifice. So it was a confusion, what to do. Immediately Krishna asked Sri Uddhava, now what to do? And Uddhava says, you know, ultimately you know everything. What's the big deal? He's a Supreme Lord, he knows everything, he's all knowing. Still, Uddhava said, since you have asked, I will tell what to do. So Uddhava says, okay, first go to Indraprastha, meet your dear devotees, they are Pandavas, and then perform Rajasuya sacrifice. Then the other pastime will manifest, that is killing of demon Jarasandha. Of course, Krishna is very merciful to his devotees. And actually Yudhishthira and other Pandavas, they earnestly requested to stay. So it is said, Krishna stayed with Pandavas for many months. It was not, you know, many months he stayed. So that is the position of the devotees. On request, the Supreme Lord comes to their house and stays. So it is very fortunate. And not only that, Uddhava's guru is Brihaspati. So he is a nice disciple, nice student of Brihaspati. And Brihaspati is Devaguru. And he has taught all Shastras to Uddhava. So, or in terms of Vedic knowledge, he is perfect. He knows everything, in one sense. But at the same time, there is one lesson that is missing for Uddhava. Even though Uddhava knows everything, Uddhava is a dear associate of Lord Krishna. He is close associate. They, you know, sometimes they eat together, they sleep together. So kind of very intimate association Uddhava had with Lord Krishna. However, there is one lesson missing. One more lesson to learn. So that lesson is the love that the residents of Vrindavan, especially the damsels of Vrindavan, they have for Lord Krishna. Uddhava didn't knew that. He was not aware of that. So in the next chapter, it actually mentions what are the glories of gopis in Vrindavan and how Krishna instructs those glories to Sri Uddhava. So here also it is the point of association to the highest degree. As Mahaprabhu said, Yamya Kajit Upasana Vrajavathu Vargaya Kalpita. That is the highest form of worship is that of the residents of Vrindavan. That too, Vrajavadhu. That is the demisels of Vrindavan. That is the highest of worship. So in the next chapter, Krishna actually quotes, Krishna knows, Krishna explains what are the mood, what are the actions of gopis. When Krishna left Vrindavan, it is mentioned, after Krishna leaving Vrindavan, gopis were so devastated that each day, it was like they were feeling each day to be the day of Brahma. And they were suffering. It is said, if happiness, if it is for a prolonged period, it's okay. It's nice. But if it is suffering for a prolonged period, it is too much. So for gopis, it was not an ordinary day, but one day was like extended to that of a day of Brahma. And that much suffering they were going through each day. Practically their life was gone in separation from Krishna. So they have so much of love for Krishna. That is the reason they complain, Lord Brahma, who is the creator, to create the lid for the eye, the eyelids, because they can't see Krishna for even for a second. So the gopis are saying in Gopi Gita, Truti Yugayate Tvam Apashyatam. So we can't see for a second. Truti means it's a 1/12th or 1/100th of a second or something like that. Truti Yugayate. Even that separation is becoming like Yugayate. It's just like a Yuga for them. Tvam Apashyatam. Without seeing you. So that's the reason they call Brahma Jada Udikshatam Prakshma Kridrisham. Jada. They are calling you are a fool. Jada means dull or fool. So you are a fool, you know, because Udikshatam, who are desirous to see Krishna. And for them, he has created a prakshma, a eyelid which is closing and opening. So that is the elevated position, the elevated love of the residents of Vrindavan. And Uddhava is advised to know about their love and worship Krishna in the same mood, in the same love. That is a very important instruction that is given in the next chapter. To elevate Uddhava to the highest platform. To give you association to Uddhava of the most elevated devotees of Krishna, who are Vraja Vadhus. And with faith and with association of the devotees, one should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And one should hear Srimad Bhagavatam only from the devotees. Because if Prabhupada also complains, in India so many Bhagavatam recitation is going on. So many saptahs. Saptah means 7 days. Since Bhagavatam was spoken in 7 days, India there are saptahs. Means 7 days finish Bhagavatam. And it is very, very common. And I have seen so many times. One time I went to India, I was speaking to my parents, my relatives. So they asked, what are you studying? What are your, how you changed? No movies. No food outside, only prasadam, no tea, no coffee, no pan, so many things, so many no. So, how all this thing happened, what books you study? So, I mentioned, yes, we study Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Bhagavatam is very elaborate, it has so many things in. So, we are mentioning, look, we are mentioning to a few other people who are maybe relatives. So, it's pointing to them, they are actually hearing Bhagavatam for so many years. Year after year, decade after decade, they are listening so much of Bhagavatam, but we are not seeing any change in them. Yeah, it's a fact. They go morning till evening, their household duties, morning they finish, morning they go till evening they hear Bhagavatam. Next day also they go morning till evening. Like that they are doing for year after year. Still, why there is no change? It is surprising. And here we are only, few months or, 1 or 2 years. In association of the devotees or whatever, then went to India and suddenly they are saying so much of change. How it happened? So the difference is whom we are listening from. The professional Bhagavatam reciters, they speak something and they act something else. They read nice entertainment in newspaper and watching movies on television. So many serials. Few hours dedicated television watching. So after all these things, if you speak about Krishna, there is no effect. And not only that, when it comes to the confidential pastimes of Krishna with the gopis in Vrindavan, it becomes, they actually bring out their lust in the conversation. They actually, it's a speech on lust. There is no love of Krishna. There is no, they cannot explain what are the dealings of the ultimate devotees of Krishna with Krishna. Rather, it is just a show. It is just a show. So actual solution, if you see, Bhagavatam gives a real solution. It is mentioned, Bhagavatam says everyone has got heart disease. Bhagavatam says everyone is a heart patient. We all are heart patients. We don't have to take angiogram or, you know, is angiogram, is right? Yeah. To see, you know, what is the condition of the heart. No need. Everyone is actually heart patient. Materialistic contamination is there in the heart of everyone. So it is said Hridrogam. The disease we have is known as Hridrogam. Hridrogam means heart disease. So Bhagavatam says everyone is heart diseased. And the solution also Bhagavatam gives. So it is interesting, in the 10th canto, in the 33rd chapter, that is said after rasa dance and everything, all the intimate dealings of Krishna and gopis, the last verse Sugadeva Goswami mentions. It's a very interesting verse because it actually gives a solution to the Hridrogam, to the heart disease. It is said, Vikriditam Vraja Vadhupir Itam Cha Vishnu Shradhanyito Anushrunayat Yatha Varnayacha Bhaktim Para Bhagavati Pradilapya Kamam Hridrogam Ashu Apahinavati Achirayana Dhira. So the last line is, Hridrogam, the heart disease, Ashu, immediately. Apihinoti, destroys. Achirena, that is also says in very fast. Dhira, for a person who is sober. So the verse is telling, after describing the pastimes of Krishna and his intimate devotees, Sugadeva Goswami is telling, the Hridrogam will immediately go for a sober-minded person by the process. What is that process of hearing and describing the pastimes of Krishna? Vikriditam Vraja Vadhuvir Idam Cha Vishnu. The Supreme Lord Vishnu, Krishna, how he dealt with the great devotees, by knowing that and by describing that, one can develop bhakti, one can fulfill one's spiritual desire, and one's hridrogam, one's heart disease will be completely vanquished. Then we may say, okay, we have heard these pastimes so many times, still why are we deceased? So the answer is, it is said Shraddhanyuto. Shraddhanyuto means one should have full faith. So we are in the process of increasing our faith. We have some faith, that's the reason we are chanting, that's the reason we are associating with the devotees, that's the reason we are taking prasadam. We have faith in the process, but we have to increase the faith to really become Shraddhanyuto. And with that Shraddha, with the ultimate Shraddha, if we hear the pastimes of Krishna, if we speak pastimes of Krishna, then the disease of the heart will be completely vanished. And for that, we need the association of the devotees. So I stop here and see, is there any questions or comments or corrections? Yes, Adi. Yeah.
What do you ask them?
Yeah, ask them how many chapters are there in Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, really, really.
I think
you've done that, but it's like,
they don't really reply too much.
Yeah, just ask, have you read Bhagavad Gita? Just one simple question, have you read Bhagavad Gita? So they will say, oh, no, I know, have you read Bhagavad Gita? Again, they ask the same question. And they will say no. At one stage they will say, no, not really, I haven't read. No doubt. I have met so many Indians. Nobody has read Bhagavad Gita. No one. And if they said, I know Bhagavad Gita, ask how many chapters are there in Bhagavad Gita. Then ask, what is the first chapter talking about? What is the 18th chapter? What is the conclusion? Just ask basic questions. No problem. They will not answer anything. It's very easy to find mistakes, you know. It's not difficult. It doesn't mean they will buy a book or anything. They will have much many more excuses. A bag of excuses. So that's not guaranteed, but at least, you know, it's possible to break the argument. Anything else?
How would you encourage them? Because, you know, to kind of tell them that they don't know is one thing, but how
To read Bhagavad Gita. I think it is better if you direct for some programs or something where they can actually start listening first. It's the easy way, that especially with intent preaching, it is better to direct for some programs or lectures so they start listening, and in association they develop that taste for reading. Or another, you know, some people when I met, if they are a little bit pious and, you know, they have some interest, and it's sure that they are not going to read Bhagavad Gita from the first page till the last page in one go, or, you know, in few months or in 1 year, that's guaranteed, you know, we can understand. Then say just read one verse a day before sleeping or something, you know, take one verse, just read the verse, translation and purport, just one page, do that, it'll help you, something like that. So that is one way, you know. Some people, I remember one couple I met on stage, and I said, and they took a Bhagavad Gita and they started reading like that, one, just one page every day, which is good, very good actually. So something simple.
I wanted to mention,
yes bro,
why is so much important to the Lotus Feet of
Krishna? It's a question or is it a
question?
Eh? It's a question. Okay, why so much of importance is given to Lotus Feet of Krishna? Actually Srila Prabhupada was asked the same question, and Prabhupada answered by citing a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. The verse is Samashritaye Padapallavaplavam Mahatpadam Punyasho Murare Bhavamputi Bhakta Bhavamputi Vasapadam Paramam Padam 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 Yat Vipadam Na Tesham. That is, by approaching the lotus feet of Krishna, the whole material existence, which is compared to the ocean, becomes just like water in the hoof print of a calf, so that one can easily cross over. So that is the glory of the lotus feet of Krishna. So that is Mahatpadam. That is the great lotus feet of Krishna. So that is one, you know, nice answer that Srila Prabhupada gave regarding the lotus feet of Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Going by the lotus feet.
Yeah.
I was reading a book, a Buddhism book.
Yeah.
And it said in there to always wear good shoes. And I think that's because out of respect, usually you don't, like in culture, you don't sort of look people straight in the face too much, that they look at the feet.
Yeah.
So it's really with Krishna, you know, it's like advice that Srimad Bhagavatam. And when you're looking at the deity, for example, you begin at the feet and then slowly make your way up. So that's usually the first place you look, and it's like you don't stare straight in the face.
Yeah,
that's sort of thing.
Actually, in this regard, there are 2 points. One is, the lotus feet of Krishna is the mercy. It's actually the source of mercy. That is one. And second, it makes us humble. Looking straight at, that's why Sanat Prabhu was mentioning, it makes us humble, looking straight at the lotus feet of Krishna and then going up. So, yes, Prabhu. Yeah, because it develops humility in the heart, and with that we can actually appreciate them, we can hear their instruction and we can follow that. It's like paying obeisances when we fall flat on the ground. The effect is, you know, it makes us humble. So with that actually we can approach the Lord. Same procedure. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhupada also says that when we look at Krishna, so to speak, all our desires they vanquish. Our material desires, we get pure, they get clean.
It's a nice point. Okay. Thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.